So we spent a lot of time over the last couple of shiurim discussing the basic halacha that when it comes to yibum, so the method of yibum that the Torah requires is bia. In contrast to kesef shtar, the person gives kesef, gives a shtar to his yevama, so it's basically dvar metel. It's basically meaningless min haTorah. With the rabbanim, it's meaningful, but min haTorah, it's meaningless. Why exactly is it meaningless? So we saw two different reasons. One was based on the simple psukim, it's exeris hakosef, and the other was Rashi's whole lumdus, which got most of the sugya started for us, that kedushin are not tovsim with an eishes ach, and fundamentally this woman is still considered to be an eishes ach, which again, of course, got the ball rolling for us in the past. What exactly the parameters of that statement are? But the din is clear. There's no question about the halacha. The rationale is up for discussion, but the din is clear that kesef v'shtar are basically meaningless when it comes to yavama. The only way to create an eishes of yibum is through the mechanism of bia. However, one can now raise a fundamental question, really a lomdash chakira, how to understand the nature of these two halachas. On the one hand, kesef v'shtar doesn't work. On the other hand, bia does work. So the question is, what exactly is the model that the Torah is creating for us? So should we say that when a yavam and a yavama do bia together, and that creates ishus, that is really kedushin? It means normally, when Reuven marries Rachel, so there are three different tracks the Torah gives us to create kedushin, either kesef v'shtar or bia. When it comes to a yavam and a yavama, so the Torah takes two of the tracks and closes them down. Says, those are not going to work for whatever reason. The only track that's left is bia. But at the end of the day, when you do bia, it's a kiddush bia. It means it's fundamentally bi'ikaron, not any different than any other kiddush bia. Now, yeah, it's different in the sense that it's a mitzvah in and of itself, yavam, yavala. There are nuances of difference, but in its heart and soul, it's really a ma'isa kiddushin. What do I say now? That this is b'chlal, not a ma'isa kiddushin. That harai is not a ma'isa kiddushin. The Torah says, kesef doesn't work, and shtar doesn't work. So if two out of three don't work, that's another way of saying kedushin doesn't work. There's no such thing as tefisas kedushin between yavam and yavama. So why is it that bia does work? So the answer is bia doesn't work b'toras kedushin. Bia works b'toras mitzvahs yibum. The Torah says that another way to become married, to become husband and wife, is through the mechanism of yibum. So there are two different ways to reach the point of ishus and halacha. One is regular. 99.99% of marriages are created through either kesef shtar or bia, and that 0.01% is created through the mitzvah of yibum. But it's a mitzvah yibum. It's not kiddushin. It's a different animal. It's a different entity. It's a different concept in halacha. It's not considered to be kiddushin. My nafkamina, how you get a test what the din is, at the end of the day, everybody agrees that kesef v'shtar don't work. At the end of the day, everybody agrees that bia does work. So does it really make much of a difference whether it's b'toras kedushin, whether we call it b'seches kedushin, whether we call it b'seches yavamas? Does it make much of a difference? So there are some nuances of halacha that seem to point in a direction that it's not really kedushin. One of the halachas that seems to support that idea is the fact that you don't need das for yibum. You don't need the das ish, nor das isha. We learned the Mishnah the other day, that abal yevimto, ben bishege, ben mezid, let's take the case in the Torah, like Yehuda is bal tamar. He didn't even know that she was a yevama. So, I mean, whatever that yibum meant, karman Torah. So, comes the Mishnah and yevamas and derives from psukim, that yibum works even against somebody's will, yibum works without das, yibum works by mistake. It's always chal. Kedushin. Kedushin doesn't work against somebody's will. Kedushin doesn't work for ta'os. So just for the fact that the halachas are so radically different, doesn't that indicate that it's not kedushin? The answer is not necessarily. It could be it's kedushin with gzeiras hakosafs. It could be that still, in its heart and soul, bia and yavama is really a ma'isa kedushin. It's a ma'isa kedushin that is working with a little bit of a different rules. Just as the Torah says, well, kesef v'shtar usually work, here they don't work. Usually the halachas require das, here you don't need das. Every difference between yibum and kedushin will just explain away. We'll just say, well, that's the quirk, that's the yaitzim in a klal, that's the exception to rule, that's the gzeiras hakosaf. But still, in its heart and soul, it's still kedushin. Or do we say no? That there are so many differences, there are so many profound differences. Kesef v'shtar doesn't work; only bia works. You normally need das; here you don't need das. The differences are so clear that forces us to reevaluate and say, wait a second. Maybe what we have in front of us is not kedushin. So this is almost like a general kind of hakira.
Why Why wouldn't if it was not kedushin? Why wouldn't she be? Why would she be an eshet ish from then on?
Well, that's the chiddush haTorah. Yivami yavol al kachal al the isha v'yibma. The Torah says this is another mechanism of creating an ishus. So we usually think we learn maseches kedushin. We think the only way to create ishus is through kedushin. So the answer is that's true. 99%
has the ishus status from the.
Okay, so we're gonna have to hold on till the next sugya to try to figure out. The fact that she was at one time married, does that impact this chakira altogether? We're not sure yet whether that's important. It may be important. Okay? You're ready. The next step.
If she has relations with another man.
Okay, that's what we're going to get. So this was almost like what we call Lamdus 101. It means we have a halacha in front of us, and it has a lot of strange aspects to it. So there are other familiar areas of halacha that we know of, and now we have this thing which is almost like a strange phenomenon to us. So what do you do with that? So do you say, well, it's fundamentally the same, just we have to smooth out the edges. It's fundamentally kedushin with a quirk here, with a quirk there, with a quirk there, with a quirk there. What do you say? There are so many quirks. There are so many quirks. That shows you that. Stop pushing a square peg into a round hole. I mean, it's not kedushin anymore. Harai, it's not kedushin. Kes v'shtah don't work, and you don't need das. It's so radically different. It must be a different type of halacha. Yep, so go ahead.
Did you mean to imply that Yehuda and Tamar was actually...
Well, the Rabban, I was just alluding to the Rabban.
That's a son.
Yeah, no. The Rabban al Torah writes that Yibum as a chiyuv only applies between brothers. Yibum as a kiyum applies between other relatives as well. So the Rabban writes that Kodem at Torah, that Yibum was practiced by many, many different kinds of relatives. It brings you the raya from Yehuda and Tamar. It says post-matan Torah. So the Torah said you can only do Yibum either when there's a chiyuv to do Yibum or if there's a kiyum and there's no violation of arayas. Post-matan Torah, that would have been a violation of arayas. That would have been marrying one's daughter-in-law even after the death of one's son. That's an issue of arayas. But pre-matan Torah, there wasn't a sort of kalos. So. But post-matan Torah, there are bad rites. Let's say Boaz doing quote-unquote Yibum on the wife of Machlon, of Rus, so the Ramban writes, that was a kiyum of Yibum. It wasn't a chiyum of Yibum because he wasn't the brother. He was a cousin. But that was a kiyum of Yibum, and it had certain halachic and hashkafic. And it was Dorayah, so therefore the Ramban writes that was something that was always practiced from day one. That's what the Ramban has his famous comments in the mysteries of Torah. We can't talk too much about it because Ramban says not talk about it. First, since we don't understand it. But B'kitzur Nimritz, the Ramban writes that since we are spending a lot of time in Yibum, it's hard to leave out that Ramban. The Ramban writes that anyone who really understands, which doesn't include us, but anyone who really understands the soul of Yibum, so understands what really happens is that the neshama of the person who dies comes back into the world, comes back in the form of the new child that's born. So the Ramban writes that's the pshuta shemach b'haya yachom asher machiv ameis. I mean, again, al pi halacha means something different, but that's the Kabbalah understanding, the deep understanding of yachom asher machiv ameis. And then the Ramban writes that if you take a look at the psukim in the end of Megillas Ruth, so you'll understand this. He says that the psukim end when Boaz and Ruth have quote unquote yibum, whatever that yibum was. And the Ramban says that all these mystical ideas apply even when it's only a kiyum of Yibum. And he writes that the Megillah records that the neighbors of Naomi were celebrating the fact that a child was born. So the Pasuk says that the Shechina said, Yulad Bein LeNaomi. That Naomi had a child. So the Ramban writes, what does it mean, Yulad Bein? It wasn't true. It wasn't Naomi's child. It was Rusa's child. So it wasn't even related. I mean, biologically, I mean, it was a cousin. It wasn't really related to Naomi. So it would have been Yulad Bein Naomi. So the Ramban writes that that's the Sod Gadol. They understood that it was Mamash Yulad Bein Naomi, that Naomi's child had come back to life. That means the Neshama of Machlon had returned back to the world through the vehicle of Yibum. That was Yulad Bein Naomi. That's what the Ramban says. And then he says, you shouldn't talk about it too much. So we're not going to talk about it. It's Ramban and Pashas Vayeshev. Anyway, so getting back to Hanigla. So we're trying to understand what the nature of this halacha is all about. So the Chora, Rashi, sheds some light on this topic. Rashi, that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, sheds a significant amount of light on this topic. Rashi's understanding was that in the relationship of Zika, it's basically still a relationship of Arayas. Rashi said that the Isser of Eshazach was not removed yet. Either it wasn't removed partially, it wasn't removed completely. That we spoke about Rabbi Chanan and the Imre Moshe the last week. But according to Rashi, at the end of the day, the reason why Kes v'shtad don't work is not Xeris HaKosov. The ultimate reason why Kes v'shtad don't work is because Ein Kedushin Tovs to be Arayas. So once you label this Yavama as an erva, to turn around and say that kes mushtak can't work because in condition toast would be arayas, but beer works. That's why beer is okay, because how could beer be okay? Because of what? If she's an erva, so then ain kedushin tov to arayas. If a person is bol or vaso, so the shame kedushin, that's meaningless. So according to Rashi, you said that the ultimate reason why ain kes vishtar are the reason why kes vishtar are not effective when it comes to a yavama is rooted in the din of ain kedushin tov to arayas. So then that halacha should preclude bia from being effective as kedushin as either. So why does bia work? How does bia create ishus? It must be a different track, must be a different world. So that's the pashas of the Varman Rashi. If you take a look at Rashi, back in the third of the Mamakamos. So Rashi writes in the third of the Mamakamos, Nasla kesva shava kesef, if a person gives kesef to, or gives a ring to a yavama, and he says, Rebbe Kodesh is with Maimer of Yibam, we trust him in Kaddisha. Even though he gave us something, these are not valid Kiddushin min HaTorah. The Torah never permitted him to treat her like a regular woman. Nachos here doesn't mean non-Jewish, means a regular woman. Rashi is contrasting Kiddushin to Seder HaMitzvah. Rashi saying Kesev Shtar don't work because that's going down the track of Kiddushin. Whereas Bia does work because that's the Seder HaMitzvah. And once you do the Mitzvah, Mameila she becomes married to you, like the second track of becoming married. The fact that Rashi is contrasting and saying Kiddushin is out of the question because Ein Kiddushin Tosu Bierva and she's still an Eshazach and nothing to discuss. So that's what Rashi prevents us from accepting not only Kiddushin Kesev Shtar, but accepting Kiddushin Bia as well. The only method of, I can't even say getting married, the only method of reaching the point of Ishos is through the Mitzvah Satorah, Kesedah Mitzvah Bia, the Kesev Rachamana. So Rashi sounds that way. Those who don't accept Rashi, those who question Rashi and said, what are you talking about? She's not an Ishos Ach anymore. The Ishos Ach is long gone from the moment of Zika. That was, we saw other Rishayim said that, we saw Rashbu said that, we saw others who suggest that. So anyone who believes that the Zika is the matter of the Yisrael Shazach, so then this woman is potentially able to have Kiddushin. Why does the Torah say that Kes Vishtah don't work? It's Gzer Sakosov. But once you put it into the realm of Gzer Sakosov, it could be the Gzer Sakosov is, even though she is eligible for Kiddushin, for this woman, Kesher Shtar aren't going to work. For this woman, B is the only method. But when we say the only method, it's the only method of Kiddushin. It still remains as a Maisi Kiddushin. So Arach HaKira may very well depend on that Rashi.
The
Yibum's
creating Nisuin, not Kiddushin.
I mean, it creates ultimate a marriage, which means both. I mean, you can't have Nisuin without Kiddushin. Once she's ready to point the Nisuin, so then Igloy Milsa, she was Mekudesh and Nisu altogether. It may not be a form of Kiddushin proper. So do we have any real nafkaminas? At the end of the day, everybody agrees to the din, that Kesher Shtar don't work. Everybody agrees that Bia does work. Everyone agrees Bia works without Das. So at the end of the day, does it really matter? It's a nice love to Shakir. Does it really make much of a difference? So there is a Gemara on the 13th of the Marmakabos, in Yavamas Daf Tzadi Beis HaMabeis, Amar Rav, Minayin She'en Kedushin Tosin B'Yavama. So we're going to come back to this Gemara a lot more in the next sugya. We continue after a little bit of a break. But for our purposes, let's focus on this halacha. Ain kedusha tos to be yavama. If an outsider tries to be bekadesh in yavama, so the kedusha are not types in. Shenema lo siyesh zameis achutzul yizar, lo teheba havaya lozar. So Rav is a drush from the pasuk. Not only is she not allowed to marry an ishzar, she can't be with an ishzar, but if she tries to, it's not going to be effective. And that's what lo siyesh. Siyesh is a loshen havaya. Ain kedusha types in. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, no, but you say no tzricha get. Shmuel says, if this child would come to us, in our humility, we would insist, we're not sure, we would insist on her giving her a get. Mesaf kelei l'shmuel, Shmuel wasn't sure, hay lo siyesh zameis idolav odiyos, idolav tafsi b'kiddush odiyos. Even though Rav was convinced that Elosi is a Lashon Isser, is a Lashon of Ein Tvisas Kedushin, Shmuel wasn't so sure. Shmuel thought that maybe Elosi is just a Lashon that you're not allowed to do it, but b'di'evit, if you try to marry in Yisrael, maybe b'di'evit the Kedushin would be Tavsin. So Shmuel was Mesubach min HaTorah, what the din is. So the Gemara in the end says, we follow Shmuel. We're not convinced that Rav is right. Maybe he's right, maybe yeah, maybe no, we're not sure. But Rav was very, very convinced that Ein Kedushin Tosu would be a Vava. So the Rishonim raised a question that if you hold the Ein Kiddushin Tosu B'Yavama, what would the next consequence be? Namely, what if somebody went ahead and had Bia with this Yavama, and a child was born from that union between the Tsar, the Ish Tsar, the stranger, the outsider, who wasn't supposed to be with her, and this Yavama Lashuk. What would the status of that child be? So according to Rav, we see some red flags flying here. According to Rav, usually there's an equation between when there's no Kiddushin, so then there's Mamzerus. So Lechora, we should draw that conclusion also, that if there's no Kiddushin, so then there should be Mamzerus. So comes Tosfos, if you skip to the 17th of the Marmar Kamos, so Tosfos says, V'yeshlom ed'alibed Rav d'yom ein Kiddushin Tosfos b'yavama, itzvich lashvid and shapet lo ave mamzer. So Tosfos says that don't draw that conclusion. Tosfos brings a raya from a detail in the text of the Gemara Daf Mem Tes that even though according to Rav ein Kiddushin Tosfos, don't worry about it, the child is not a mamzer, which of course raises the question, well, why not? If normally, let's say a person is mezana with an eshes ish, so ein kiddushin tovsin, so there's mamzerus. A person is mezana with his sister, ein kiddushin tovsin, mamzerus. A person is mezana with his sister-in-law, ein kiddushin tovsin, mamzerus. So how come, according to Rav, we don't complete that sentence? V'taymam rabinatam, Rabbi Nachman explains, tahavik oivik yicham ve'eved, she'ein ba'kiddushin l'shumadam. So comes Rabbi Nachman and says, the reason why there's no mamzerus is based on a Gemara that appears a little bit earlier on in Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara derives from Sukkim that if a goy or never Kanani is mezana with a Jewish girl, the child is not a mamzer. Why not? Ein kiddushin tovsin, can't have kiddushin with a goy. So why isn't every child that's born from a goy and a bas yisrael automatically a mamzer? So the Gemara says, no, it's not. You know why? Because the parsha mamzerus, the psukim that teaches mamzerus, teach us the following: that ein kiddushin tovsin, this relationship, this union, there's no kiddushin, but this woman would potentially have kiddushin with somebody else. So this man could potentially have kiddushin with somebody else. I mean, there's a possibility of kiddushin somewhere. When you have a situation of a goy and a bas yisrael, the goy is mufka from kiddushin altogether. So the only time that there's mamzerus is, let's say, Reuven is mezana with his sister. Reuven and Rachel are mezana together. So Reuven is in the parsha of kiddushin. Rachel's in the parsha of kiddushin. But Reuven and Rachel together can't create kiddushin. That's the model for mamzerus. That's based on psukim in Parshas Ki Seisei. But if you have a situation where either one of the parties is not even in the ballpark of kiddushin, then there's nothing to discuss. So therefore, the goy who's bald the bas yisrael, we can't even begin to discuss it because there wouldn't be kiddushin in any shape or form. So the question becomes: well, what about in eishes ish? A person is mezana with an eishes ish. So why don't we say there's no mamzerus because she can't marry anybody? She's an eishes ish. So the answer is: well, she can't marry anybody. She can remain married to her husband. So she has kiddushin to one person. As long as there's somebody who she's in the parish of kiddushin to, that qualifies, that meets the criteria to create mamzerus. A goy has nobody. Now Rabbi Natam is a very, very long teshuvah. Rabbi Natam says, the yisur of Yavama L'shuk, is there any possibility for anybody to have kiddushin with her? So let's think it through. So you have a Rachel, she's a kuka liyibum. So she'll try to, so she's a kuka to Reuven. So she'll try to go and have kiddushin with a stranger, with David. It's not going to work. She'll try to have kiddushin with Moshe. It's not going to have kiddushin with Shlomo. It's not going to work. So every single male man under the sun, she's not going to have Tavisa's kiddushin with. So, but the question becomes: but she has with her yavam. She could have a relationship with her yavam. She could have a quote unquote kiddushin with her yavam. That's going to do her in. If she can have kiddushin with her yavam, that's going to qualify her for mamzerus. We don't want that. So Rabbi Natam comes and says the following. So take a look at that Rabbi Natam again. V'taima Rabbi Natam, the first line in 17, the end of the line. V'taima Rabbi Natam, the havik ev gicham ve'evet, the yavam l'shuk is like the relationship of a goy. She'ein ba kedushin l'shum adam. U'li yavam nami lav bas kedushin hi, ela biyahu de'isba. Comes Rabbi Natam and says, she doesn't have kedushin to any person under the sun. Aye, she marries a yavam. What did Rabbi Natam say? He said it black and white. Lav bas kiddushin hi, ela biyahud isba. Says, that's not kiddushin, that's biya. To put that into our lingo, into our hakira, that's not kiddushin, that's a mitzvah yibum. And a mitzvah yibum happens to also create a status of ishus down the line, but kiddushin it's not. It's yavamus, yes, that's not maseches kiddushin. So comes Rabbi Natam and finally took a stand on the issue. Comes Rabbi Natam and told us, the feirish, that a yavam nami lav bas kiddushin hi, and that's ultimately what prevents mamzerus. That's put into the category closer to an Eved V'Achum rather than the category of an Eishes Ish. So So based on what we said, what should follow is that the greatest supporter of Rabbi Natan should be Rashi. We would have expected Rashi to be on Rabbi Natan's side also, because Rashi was the one who said that ain kedushin tosim biyavama. I don't mean to the outsider, I mean to the insider, to the brother, because she's still an erva. So we would have expected Rashi to be mamish hand in hand with his grandson Rabbi Natan. But take a look at the 16th of the Marmar Kamos. So Rashi writes, Ikerav, the Amar Brek Isherav b'nayin shein kedushin tovsim b'yavama d'chsiv leis eis tabetz leizor l'si b'avaya, according to Rav Shita, therefore v'avlad mamzer. Boom. Rashi throws the curveball that we didn't expect, we didn't want to hear from Rashi. Rashi says the child is a mamzer. So the question is, how does that work? According to this whole theory that we, it's a kash and rash from our theory, according to this whole lumdus that we're suggesting, which was borne out by Rabbi Adam, that whenever there's no kedushin, and no kedushin means there's no kedushin with anybody, even with the yavam, if there's no kedushin, then there must, by definition, be no mamzerus. There's no possibility of kedushin to anybody. So how could Rashi walk this tightrope? On the one hand, Rashi is saying that there's no kedushin to anybody, even to the yavam, because she's eishes achiv. On the other hand, Rashi says it creates mamzerus. So the chari, you have to say according to Rashi as follows: when the Gemara says that a goy and an eved are different, that they don't create mamzerus because there's no kedushin to anybody, it doesn't focus is not on there's no kedushin to anybody. It means there's no heter to anybody. It means the goy can't marry anybody. The goy can't be bol any bas Yisrael. So what the Gemara means to say is mamzerus is created almost by a localized isser. When you have a general isser that this person, either one of these two parties, can't marry anybody under the sun, this Eved, this guy can't marry any Jewish person, so that's not Arayus. That's not Mamzerus. That's not the recipe for Mamzerus. That's an Isser. It's like, Chil Shabbos is also offset everybody. That doesn't create Mamzerus. Eating Treif doesn't create Mamzerus. What creates Mamzerus is a localized problem. How do you understand a localized problem? A localized problem means there are certain people who you can be with, and there are certain people who you can't be with. The Gemara uses the phrase kedushin tovsim, but kedushin tovsim is not really the key. What the real key is a kedushin not being tofes as an expression of a certain degree of iser. Rashi writes, the Rashi shita is that even though, yes, it's true that there's no kedushin between the yav and the yavama, that's 100% true, but there's a head there, there's a mitzvah, yavama yava aleha. So once you've identified that there's one person out there who this woman can marry, so that creates the status of a localized iser, just as the model of an Eishes Ish. An Eishes Ish can't marry anybody, but she can remain married to her husband. So once you have a localized iser, she's a person is okay to one person and off limits to anybody else. So that is the recipe for mamzerus. That's what Rashi holds, that the yavam and the yavama are on for each other. They can be together. They can't have kedushin. That's true. That's true, but irrelevant. That's not the key. According to Rashi, the emphasis is not so much on the kedushin. The emphasis is more on the heter. So we could breathe a sigh of relief that Ashtik Latar is still okay. Alumnus is still right, notwithstanding Rashi's comment on Yivam Stuff Bim Test. So the bottom line is, when all the dust settles in our sugya, we still have a statement of the Gemara, the Yavam and Nikas B'Kesef. That's a given, Yavam and Nikas B'Kesef. Why that's so, what that indicates about anything is up for grabs. But there's one last akuda before really the bridge to the next sugya. Have a week and a half break between them, but the bridge to the next sugya. Comes the Maharik and says, he already thought this chakira. Maharik already lived 500 years ago, before the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Maharik already thought of this chakira about what's the nature of Bia with the Yavam? Is it Kedushin or is it not Kedushin? Is it really part of the sugyas of Kedushin or is it really a different world? And says the Ma'arik, I'll bring you Raya from Kedushin, the Avdalat, from our sugya. Says the Ma'arik, if you go back to the first of the Marmar Kamos, Mamish back to the beginning, how did we get onto this? We've been learning Yavamas for 3 weeks already. How do we get onto this? So it started with the following, all of the first three Marmar Kamos, Malamish and Nikis Bia. The Gemara quoted a pasuk that a regular woman is nicknamed Bia. Practicing my kasha, what do you need a pasuk for? Valo dinu, it's a kavachaymer. Umayy vamash a niknes bekesef niknes bebia. Zusha niknes bekesef a dinsha niknes bebia. The kavachaymer was that if a regular Yavama can't be nikneis b'kesef for whatever reasons, but she can be nikneis b'bia, so you see that bia is greater than kesef. It's a greater form of kinyan than kesef. So zil, a regular woman, she nikneis b'kesef. We already know, based on gezeirah shava kichakicha, that a regular woman can be mekudeshes b'kesef. Ein adin, she nikneis b'bia. Kam v'chaymer, much more so, can she be nikneis b'bia. So at the end of the day, the Gemara had trouble with this kam v'chaymer. The Gemara had technical quirks and details, why the kam v'chaymer doesn't fly. And at the end of the day, the Gemara needed a pasuk. But the Gemara was willing to entertain the possibility of deriving from this kal v'chomer, well, if it works for Yibum, then it works for Kedushin. So says the Marik, what do those words mean? If it works for Yibum, then it works for Kedushin. If you tell me that this is not Kedushin, if you tell me this is not a Kinyan altogether, this is a different parasha. So if something works at a Chashabbos, it's not going to work for Kedushin. If something works as a mitzvah of eating matzah, it's not going to work for Kedushin. So if something works as a mitzvah's Yibum, and the mitzvah's Yibum happens to have that ability to down the line create some kind of an ishus, how in the world is that a Kinyan? How does that impact on Masechus Kedushin? So says the Marik from the Havamin of the Gemara, that the Gemara was willing to derive Kedushin Bia from Yibum of Bia. That's a proof positive that we are dealing with the Maisi Kedushin. That's a proof positive against Rabbeinu Tam. That's against Rashi. That's showing that this is a valid mechanism of Kedushin. That was Marik's Raya. So the only way to deflect the Marik's Raya is to say that was the Havamina, but something radically changed in the Maskana. But we don't have enough information about that yet to know what really changed in the Maskana. So hopefully from the next sugya, and when we finish the next sugya, then we'll be able to realize that something did radically change in the Maskana that may ultimately take away from the Raya of the Marik. But I'll call upon him, the Marik's Raya at this stage, with what we know now in terms of the Shakhtar and the Hapim of the Gemara, Marik's Raya sounds like a very, very good Raya. Whether it's going to stand or not is going to depend on what the Maskana of the Gemara is. So we pretty much spent about 2 to 3 weeks on a Hapim. I mean, hopefully a lot of things came along the way. We picked up a lot of information about Yibum and Kedushin, etc. But this was all within the world of the Havamin. At the end of the day, we're going to hopefully have a different makor and a different reason why Yibum does not serve as a model for Kedushin. Hopefully, that's from the next thing we'll continue with.